The Word was made flesh. You can get a car by the Word. You can get houses by the Word. You can get healed by the Word. You can get joy by the Word. You can get peace by the Word. Glory to God. Now notice, with revelation knowledge, burdens are being removed and yokes are being destroyed.
All right, I'm reading here from Colossians chapter 1. We're teaching on the subject, Christ in you, or the anointing. In verse 25, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even this mystery which has been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ, where?
In you.
In you, the what? The hope of glory. So this is our teaching. We're talking about Christ in you, the anointed one, or his anointing in you. Now let's go now over to Isaiah chapter 10, to our other foundation text, because that's where we are developing our understanding for the anointing and what the anointing is, and of course what it does. Let's look here at Isaiah chapter 10 and verse 27. And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the what? Anointing. So the anointing is God's burden removing, yoke destroying power. It is the power of God coming on human flesh to do what only God can do. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. So these are seven aspects of that anointing, or seven anointings within one anointing that comes on Christ, or has been characteristic of the ministry of Jesus, which is who was or is the Christ. So now we are saying that this anointing is the ability of God to allow us to live in a way that is, I would say, just for words, supernatural. It's allowing us to live on a level that we could not live on without this kind of ability. So I'm reminded of one of the speakers who came here last year. And he made a comment. He said, you know, he was watching the news or something, and they were interviewing Jack Nicklaus. And they were saying, asking him questions, and they asked him a question about Tiger Woods. And he said, what do you think about the play of Tiger Woods, the golf game of Tiger Woods? He said, well, the only thing I can say is that he's playing golf on a level that I'm not familiar with. Now, this is kind of interesting, because when you're talking about the anointing and having the anointing function in your life, I think the anointing will take you up to a level that the world is not familiar with. And that's exactly what needs to happen in your life. I mean, if you look at this church, and look at the things that are happening in this church. Now, we've only been in business for a short while. Now, I say in business because I'm talking about kingdom business. But we've only been in business for a short while. And look how God has made it grow. Look at the number of souls that have been born again. Look at the things and miracles and healings that God has done. Look at the different aspects that we've done. We're talking about a business, Christian business school. We're talking about starting a bank. We're starting all kinds of things. And I remember what the man said one time down from Illinois, the state of Illinois, and he came up to certify our school. So he spent about 3 days with us going through our curriculum, so forth and so on. And he said, you know, I haven't done an investigation and there's not another school like this in the country. I'm sure probably in the world. Now, I don't know where it stands now. That was some 4 years ago. But my point is that notice how the anointing of God takes you out front. And it takes you up above some of the fray, some of the issues that are going on today, and brings you into real solutions, what I call true riches. And I believe that's where the church is going today. I think a lot of what has happened to the church is that we have measured ourselves by ourselves. We have compared ourselves to ourselves. And the Bible says when you do this, that's not wise. And so what we need to do is we need to measure ourselves now beside Jesus. We need to understand that there's a scripture that says, behold, I will do a new thing. And when he's talking about a new thing, he's talking about something that's never been done before. So sometimes a lot of people don't do anything because they think it hadn't been done before, so they're not going to do it. And that's exactly why God has birthed you into the world, because he's going to give you something that nobody else has ever had before so that you can have solutions that nobody else has ever had. So we need to be aware of the fact that this whole idea about the anointing takes us up to something called A-level Christianity. A stands for anointed. It's the anointed Christian life that God wants us to live. So now as we go in here and look at these things in the scriptures, I want you to turn to John and John chapter 1, please, if you will. John chapter 1. Now we've covered some distance here talking on the subject of the anointing. And of course, I want you to understand the anointing, because if you don't understand it and that the fact that the Christ is in you, then you won't know how to get him out. You won't know how to get the anointing to function for you so that you can live on that level that the world is not familiar with. Boy, I like that. Playing golf on a level that I'm not familiar with. Look what it says here in John chapter 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the what? Word. The Word was with God, and the Word, come on, was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by who? Him. Him who? God. God who? The Word. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was what? Life. And the life was the what? Light of men. Now, realize that this world is in darkness. Matter of fact, the Bible talks about over in Isaiah chapter 61, it talks about gross darkness. Now, when we say darkness, it didn't mean necessarily that you don't have any light bulbs or the sun isn't shining, but man's mind has gotten darkened. That the further we go close to the time of Jesus coming, the further away from the things of truth that the world will drift. Now, what you've got to do is understand that you are the light, come on, of the world. You're going to have solutions that the world does not have. I mean, they're coming up with computers now, and the more things they come up with, the more complex things get. And still, you got to stand in line, wait on a ticket for the airplane, so forth. Come on now. It seems that things are getting so complex. So what we're doing is we are providing solutions. We are doing some things which are causing God's people to be able to walk and do things to outshine the world, and that the world would be drawn basically to us so that we can provide the influence and leadership that will convince the world that Jesus is Lord and that they would want to come and get saved. Amen. That's all I can say about that. Now, let's look, for example, at you. Who are you? See? Because if you only think who you are is who you look at in that mirror in the morning, then you have been in darkness. The truth is that the real you is down in there. Now, the reason why I'm able to walk around like this and talk is because I'm in here.
All right now.
Now the real me is in this body. What you're looking at physically and what you can see is not me. Now I know that may sound like a, I'm straying away from truth here, but I'm not. That's not me. This is not me. This is my body. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Now, this is my body. Now, if you can get that down in you, you're halfway there. And then realize that you didn't have anything to do with you. You were not somewhere saying, I don't want to be in that womb. I mean, you're
all right.
You're being born in this nation or in another nation or whatever have you didn't have anything to do with. Only thing you know is one day you came out. You know, you look at, oh, whoa. I mean, that's all you know.
Amen.
So if that be the case, and I didn't have anything to do with me, and you didn't have anything to do with you, then why are we prejudiced toward one another?
All right.
If I didn't have nothing to do with me, and you didn't have nothing to do with you, why are we getting issues with one another? Why is there racial tension between us? You didn't have nothing to do with you.
That's right.
And I didn't have nothing, so you can't be better than me because you didn't have nothing to do with you.
Dang it. That's all right.
Are you following what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm saying that now because it happens on both sides. It happens that these differences, what Satan does is come to magnify the difference. See? But what he comes to do is to get you to focus in on the outside and not on the inside. Where the only reason you are something on the outside is because you're something on the inside. You see, the outside can't even walk over here and talk to you unless the inside was in there. Because if the inside got taken home to be with the Lord, then the outside would just fall over. Now, if you leave the outside there long enough, what will happen to the outside? It'll go back to the dust. Notice, because it wasn't ever anybody. It wasn't ever anybody. See? Now what happens with revelation is God wants to reveal to you first who you are. Now you can't know who you are until you know who He is. Because you've been made in His image. Not in your image. In His image. So for you to know who you are, you got to find out who He is. Am I right about it? Now, I found out that God is a spirit. I said, God is a spirit. Now, that's a little bit different from what we've heard sometimes. I mean, talking about God, in some religions say God is smoke and God is a big mind and God is, you know, they're trying to. But see, that's the natural mind trying to figure out God. But if you go in the Bible, it's a revelation of who God is. And it's telling you that God is a spirit. Well, if God is a spirit and I'm made in His image, what am I? I gotta be a spirit. Amen? Now, I know this is different from what Pook and them say. How do you say Pook and them? Pook and them, all right. All right, oh, praise the Lord. Okay, I'm just trying to see that sign language for Pook and them. This is a sign language for Pook and them. Pook and them. No. I want you to catch this now because we do a lot with the outside, but that's not really you. The thing that's valuable or the thing that's most valuable is on the inside. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. So we have something inside called us, which is actually the thing that's going to live forever. That's a person that's going to live forever somewhere. It's going to either live forever with Christ or it's going to live forever in the lake of fire with the devil, because that's where the devil's penalty is. And all who don't believe in Christ have the same penalty that the devil has. So that's the lake of fire. You know, if I wasn't saved, you know what I'd do? Well, I'd sure get saved. Now, so revelation, where does revelation come? It comes from God into my spirit, not my mind. He doesn't talk to my mind. He talks to my spirit. See, that is the place where God has to come to talk to. Because now through the agency of the Holy Spirit, that it's through my spirit, it talks to my mind. That's why when you get direction to do something, it always sounds like it's you. Because it comes from you. See, He has to use you to tell you what to do. Do you realize that sometimes you might not know an answer and you can ask yourself? Say that sometimes. Say, self, let me ask you something, self. What happened to this? And you give yourself a little time, self will answer. Because you know more than your mind knows. Well, let me get this. All right. So now what we've done is we got these two parts. We got the physical and natural part, and then we got the spiritual part. Now let's turn real quick to 1 Corinthians and 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Now he said, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. Okay, that light came to darkness. Darkness comprehended it not. So when you get revelation, one of the first things you get is life. Life. You need food for your natural body to sustain life, and you need word for your spiritual body to sustain life. You got what I'm saying? You get life. The Bible talks about the outer man perisheth, meaning that it's slowly, you know, once you're born, you're starting to die. It's slowly dying in this earth because of the curse. But the inner man is renewed what?
Day by day.
Day by day. See that life, day by day, every day. Give us this day. Come on. Our daily bread. Okay? Now, look what it says here in, what did I have you? Okay. 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. He says this in verse 9. But it is written, eye has not seen, this is natural part of you now, neither ear heard, neither entered into the heart of man, the things that God has prepared for them that love him. Okay? But God has revealed them to who? Us. Who is us now? The spirit. See, he's not talking about our body, because our body can't receive this. He's talking about our spirit. See, you live from the inside out. Oh, if y'all can get this. See, the way you can be assured of healing is first heal your spirit. See, if your body can't get sick without your spirit. What happens in the, glory to God. See, the enemy fooled us because we had come from bondage, but he told us that we live from the outside in. That what is happening to us is because so-and-so don't like us. What is happening to me and why I can't get anywhere is because the government is tada. What is happening to me is because so-and-so. But that's not true. What is happening to you comes from in you. See, it comes from in you. Where you end up going is based on who you are. If you see yourself a certain way, that's where you go. Are you following what I'm saying? And it's not somebody. It's not the man. It's not the so-and-so. I'm living on the other side of the tracks. There's all kinds of things. If you get born again, you got God in you. You've got what is in you to change anything outside of you. That's why he said that no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. That's why he said, if God be for you, who can be against you? It doesn't make any difference. You got to know who you are in here. So the enemy tries to make you think that your problem is out there, and it's not out there. Your problem is in here. So if you can get a turnaround on the inside, come on, you can get a turnaround on the outside. Amen. So what do people do? They work on the outside, but it's not the outside. You need to work on the inside. People will see you and they say, what you talking about? They say, I notice you kind of mumbling to yourself. Tell them I'm working on something. That's all, I'm working on something. What you're doing is you're changing the distorted image on the inside, because if you do, it'll bring you into your promise. Are you following what I'm saying? So be inside minded. Be God inside minded. Because God is in there with you. Jesus said, I'll never leave you, come on, or forsake you. He said, I'm going to send the Holy Ghost, and he's going to be with you how long? Forever. So the Holy Ghost is in there. The Holy Ghost is just as much God as God is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. God is in you now. Now, God is big. Say God is big. He is not small. So God is trying to manifest the life of God called eternal life into this world through you. So don't be thinking small, because God ain't small. And what people trying to do is bring God down to something that they can do themselves. He don't want you to do it. He wants Christ in you to be the hope of glory. Are you following what I'm saying? Now get this now, because I'm going into Revelation now. I want you to see this. See, the eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor entered into the heart of man, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed them to us, not my flesh. My flesh don't know it. Come on now. My flesh. Didn't God say wealth and riches shall be in your house? Didn't he say that? So anytime God says something, it's God's will. Am I right about it? If it's God's will, it's his desire. Am I right about that? So God wants you to desire what he desires. So it's all right to desire to be wealthy, because God desires it, because it's his will, and he said it to you. See, and people are trying to talk you out of that. Well, I don't desire that money. I said, I'm going to desire exactly what he desires so that I can be what he wants me to be. I'm not going to try to figure it out with my mind, because my mind doesn't know. Glory to God. Lord, have mercy. I said, Lord, have mercy. Woo! Look what it says here in verse, I'll start here in verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know, somebody say no, the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the who teaches? The Holy Ghost teaches, comparing, come on, spiritual thing, come on, with spiritual. I took this Bible, and God, you know, God be talking to me and telling me that. I mean, just, and he said, now, what did I say about giving you a house? What did I say about giving you a house? And I said, well, you said it over in Deuteronomy chapter 6. He said, turn over there and look at that again. So I turned over there. Come on over there. Freely given to me. I said, freely. Now you got to know this. Freely. Deuteronomy chapter 6. Hallelujah. I'm talking about Revelation, see, because what your mind will try to do, if your mind is the boss, it'll try to talk you out of it. Because it'll try to reason what God just said. And it's reasoning based on sense evidence, where the Spirit of God is receiving it directly from God and getting the truth. And you'll know the truth, and what will the truth do? Make you free. It's the truth you know. It's not the truth that'll make you free. It's the truth you know will make you free. Now look what it says here in Deuteronomy chapter 6, and look what it says in verse 10. And it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land, which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not. Watch this. And houses full of all good things, which thou what? Filleth not. Now I looked at that, and I said, because God, somebody challenged me. They said, well, Pastor, where is my car in the Bible?
Come on, preacher.
And I started thinking about that. Now I know where my airplane is.
All right. Hey, all right.
I found my airplane. Now I found the house. But where is my car? Right. Read it again.
Come on.
And houses full of all good things, which thou fillest not.
On,
where's my car in there?
Come on, preacher.
It's in the garage. It's in the garage. It's in the garage. Glory to God. It's in the garage. What kind of car is in the garage? It's in here? Full of all what kind of thing? Good. The word good is from the Hebrew T-O-W-B. It means the best. The best kind of car is already in the garage. Better homes and gardens. Now, if you're there and you're dull of hearing, and you're not, you want, what are you talking, why are you talking, why are they so excited? You'll get it Tuesday. Just don't fight me. See? It's mine. It's mine. I said it's mine. I ain't talking about some car that's leaking oil. That, come on now. That you wonder if it's gonna start up on a cold morning. I'm talking about something that smells new. Hallelujah. Now, if you got that scripture, where is your car gonna come from? Outside in, come on, or inside out? There's no economy that can stop that car. There is no person that can stop that car. There is no, cause the Word was made flesh. Mary got a baby by the Word. You can get a car by the Word. You can get houses by the Word. You can get healed by the Word. You can get joy by the Word. You can get peace by the Word. Glory to God. Now notice the spirit of revelation. Notice how happy you're getting. You know why? Because burdens are being removed and yokes are being destroyed. Aren't you glad you're here today? Give the Lord a shout. Because he might have you to sow a seed, might have you to do something else, but it's already yours. It's already yours. You ain't got to beg God. Oh, God, please heal me. Ain't no place in the Bible that says God's going to heal you. There ain't in the Bible at all. It says that God has healed you. Everything you got, God done saved you, God done healed you, God done blessed you, God done given you a house, God done give you a car, God got you the best job, God got you a new business, God got you a new set of clothes, God got you some new shoes. Knowledge. Revelation. Revelation. The eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor enter into the heart of man the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. But God has revealed it to our spirit. Yes, sir. You see, while you're coming up sowing seed, it's because burdens have been removed, yokes have been destroyed. What the devil has held back from you is about to come into your garage, is about to come into your living room. That's revelation knowledge. And as far as you can see,
I'm going to give it to you.
Now, turn with me to 2 Timothy. Now you can see when Revelation comes and it hits, it does something to you. Burdens are removed and yokes are destroyed because of the spirit and anointing of Revelation. All right, let's try to finish this here. That's this 11 bunch. Praise God. All right. Look what it says in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy now. In chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2. Hey, Kebo Shatara. Still feel the anointing. Kebo Shatara. Verse. Verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Hallelujah. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So if the word can be rightly divided, the word also can be wrongly divided. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. In holy living. Now, there are some lies recorded in the Bible. Now let's go to the book of Job.
Come on, preacher.
The book of Job, verse 1. If you haven't, say praise the Lord. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feareth God and escheweth evil. And there were born unto him 7 sons and 3 daughters. His substance also was 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 she-asses, and a very great household. That household means servants or employees. So that this man was the greatest of all the men in the east. Though one translation says he was the richest man in the entire area. So here is God giving us a financial statement on Job. Verse 4, and his sons went and feasted in their houses, every one his day, and sent and called for their 3 sisters to eat and to drink with them. And it was so, when the days of their feasting were gone about, that Job sent and sanctified them and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all, for Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This Job did what? Continually. Now, verse 6, and there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said to Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him? Now God knows what Satan was considering, see. None like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. Now that word "acheweth," I gave you over there, it said the same thing over here in the beginning. It means to abstain from or shun evil. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, does Job fear thee, God, for naught? Has not thou made a hedge about him? Underline that. and about his house, underline that, and about all that he hath on every side, including his kids and family, thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth your hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse you to your face. So this is the devil talking to God. Now, notice a couple of things. One, Satan was really seeking after Job. And he said to God, you made a hedge about him, which was true, and about his house and all that he had. But if you put forth your hand and you touch him or take it away, then he'll curse you to your face because he's just serving you for what he can get. And verse 12, and the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Now, don't translate that to mean sick him, Satan. That God is not putting Satan on you. You are his child. And Satan comes to steal, come on, kill, and to destroy. He's self-employed. He doesn't need anybody to employ him. But God is saying here that, hey, that hedge is not there. Now, here, he went from the presence of the Lord, and there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking. This is Job now, wine in their elder brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses feeding beside them. And the Sabians fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the fire of God has fallen from heaven, that could have been lightning, and hath burned up the sheep and the servants and consumed them, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, the Chaldeans made out three bands and fell upon the camels and have carried them away, yea, and slain the servants or their employees with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped to tell thee. While he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their elder brother's house. And behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house. And it fell upon the young men, and they are dead. Underline young men. And I only am escaped alone to tell thee. Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In all this, Job sinned not or charged God what? Foolishly. Now, the key to this is to realize that Satan was the one that was causing these problems in Job's life. It was not God, even though in verse 16, they said the fire of God. Well, that's just like the insurance company saying an act of God. Well, no, destruction is not an act of God. God is a giver. God is a healer. God is a preserver. God wants to save humanity. The devil wants to destroy it. But I told you the devil works like this. He throws his rock and hides his hand. Then when people look his way, he points at God. Say, well, God is trying to teach you something. That's why you had that accident. That's why you lost that job. Well, I want to point out that you need revelation. Because if you don't have revelation, you'll come down here and see where he said, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Now, let me ask you something. Who said that? Job. Was it true? No. Then there are some lies recorded. And God records it so that you won't make the same mistake Job did. You got it? He records it for correction, for reproof, for doctrine. See? He recorded that for a reason, because the enemy might try to use the same trick on you. And then some misguided representative of God might stand up and say at a funeral, and this young man is over here dead, and he'll say, the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Well, the people think God took the boy, and God didn't have nothing to do with it. God was out trying to save him with all he had. All right, let's go and deal with verse 10, where it says you've made a hedge about him. Turn to Ecclesiastes and chapter 10, please. You have made a hedge about him. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Now in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, there is an interesting statement that is made here. He says this, verse 8, he that diggeth a pit shall fall into it, and whoso breaketh an hedge, a serpent, come on, shall bite it. So now, here is the hedge around Job. Now Job began to worry about his kids. Now worry is not from God. Right, right. Worry is meditating on the negative.
Right. Amen.
And worry is rooted in fear.
Right. Amen.
Worry is a sin. And God knows that worry has even taken some people to the grave.
Amen.
God said, don't worry about nothing. Now I'm paraphrasing now, but that's what he said for you. But in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. Job didn't have no peace because he was taking that burden on and worrying himself. Now, what am I trying to tell you with this? That Job, through worry, through fear, pulled down the hedge in his life. God put it up. That means Satan couldn't get to him. Job pulled it down. I'm saying that people in their own lives pull down the hedge. It's not God sicking Satan on somebody. It's not God trying to make somebody fail. God is for your success. God wants you to be good. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to be blessed. Now go on over with me and look, if you will, to Job chapter 3. Job chapter 3. I'm going to have to speed up because Job chapter 3. Oh, Lord. So when the hedge is down, what will happen with the serpent? Serpent will bite you. The devil is just waiting there. I mean, he's sitting perched, waiting for an opportunity. See, that's why you got to keep your mouth right. I said, keep your mouth shut. Look what it says here in Job chapter 4. Let me know when you get that. Say, praise the Lord. Verse 25. Job chapter 3. Verse 25. For the thing which I greatly feared is what? Come upon me. And that which I was afraid of, come on, has come to me. Now notice, Job didn't only fear it, he what? Come on, he greatly feared. He greatly feared. You ever heard of great faith? Well, this is great fear. It'll do the opposite. How does faith come? And hearing by what? The word of God. How does fear come? And hearing the words of who? Now you know he must have been listening to the voice of the devil for him to have fear. Because that's the only way fear gonna come. Fear, faith, God can't do anything for you without faith, and the devil can't do anything against you without fear. So the first thing the devil does is try to put fear in your life. Fear that they're not gonna like you. Fear that you're not gonna have enough. Fear that you're not gonna get there on time. Fear you're not, so forth and so on. The Bible says fear not. Say amen to that.
Amen.
All right, look what it says in the next verse. He said, I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. In Proverbs chapter 1, and don't turn over there because we're out of time. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 33, it says, But whoso hearken unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So if you hearken to God, then you'll be quiet and dwell safely and be quiet from fear of evil. So Job obviously wasn't hearkening to God. He was listening to the voice that was trying to speak to him, telling him that his children were not going to make it, that something going to happen to your children tonight, and so forth. You can't listen to that voice. You got to think on these things. Whatsoever things are good, come on, pure, perfect, lovely, of good report, keep thinking on those things. Let's go over to Job chapter 6. Look what happened in Job chapter 6, if you will. Have you got it? Say praise the Lord. Look at verse 23. Or deliver me from the enemy's hand. Now Job's figuring out who's doing this. And redeem me from the hand, come on, of the mighty. Teach me and I will do what to my tongue? I'm going to hold my tongue. And cause me to understand, come on, where I have missed it. Glory to God. Now, can't you see? It's not God that was killing kids. And it's not God today that's killing kids. Get that out of your mind. That is something that's been preached and people have been wrong and saying, well, God was testing Job with the devil. No, he wasn't. God knew exactly what Job will do. And I'm just saying right now that people kind of take these scriptures and take them and they have not rightly divided them and now preach things at funerals that people have had a bad impression of God and that wasn't God at all. You see, religion always puts you in a place of non-resistance. In other words, the devil just can sneak in your bedroom at night, whoop, knock you out, you die, and now that's it. Or some people think that God is up in the sky with a big pegboard, and God says, I think I'll call old Bob up today. Bloop, boom, Bob falls dead and comes on up to heaven. That is not the way it happened. The Bible says with long life he's going to satisfy you and show you his deliverance. Now notice Job in that time had no intercessor. There was no intercessor. It was different in the Old Testament because they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have an intercessor because he had to come to the earth first and then go back to heaven. So notice in Job chapter 9, look at that, if you will. Job chapter 9, glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at Job chapter 9. Have you got it? In verse 32, for he is not a man as I am that I should answer him and we should come under the judgment. Under in judgment. Neither is there any dazed man betwixt us that might lay his hand upon, come on, both of us. In other words, a dazed man. The dazed man was Christ. Jesus came and he was laying his hand on God and laying his hand on man. He was the one that was there. Notice what Job did. Job pulled down the what? Head. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 22, if you will. Ezekiel chapter 22. Come on, quick, please. Ezekiel, oh Lord have mercy. Ezekiel chapter, come on with your smart self. Ezekiel chapter 22. Let me know when you get there. Come on, get there quickly. I need you to get there. Look what he says in verse 30. He said this, I sought for a who? Man among them that should do what? Make up the head and what? Stand in the gap before me for the land that I should not destroy, but I couldn't find one. In other words, God was looking all through ages for somebody who was perfect enough that could stand in the gap and make up the what? Head. Notice in the Old Testament when the heads came down, the serpent bit. But in the New Testament, it's a different story. You see, Jesus came in the earth, walked this earth for 33 years, and then he suffered the pains of death. He was partaker of the infirmities of us. He knows what we're going through, and he's there to deliver us. So then he died on the cross, took your sins in mine, went to the grave, paid the penalty 3 days and three nights in the belly of the earth. Then God raised him up. Now he went back up to the Father. Now he's sitting down and and he's making intercession for you and me. So when we get in trouble and we miss it somehow, we got an intercessor up there that's making up the head. He's there making sure that even though you miss it, the devil can't get in and bite you. Glory to God. How does he do that? He's there. He's an intercessor. But he cannot pray from heaven. He cannot pray from heaven and tell the Father this. No. What he does is he sent another comforter. And it's the Holy Ghost. So the Holy Ghost is in the earth. But he's not just in the earth. He's in me. Christ in me. So now the Holy Ghost is going to prompt my spirit and say, listen, pray for that sister down there on the west side who has, she kind of missed it, but pray to God that God will make up the head and go into God. So you start praying in the spirit. Now notice where it came from. It didn't come from you. It came from him. See, it comes from him to you. Then you pray it back to him, and then he comes back to the earth and makes it happen for you. I know some of y'all didn't miss it, but guess what? I've been praying for you. Rundalabahasata. Now let's go to Job chapter 42. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Now you know, now you see why you need to speak in tongues. Because he who prays in an unknown tongue prays not unto men, but unto God. He prays the perfect will of God for the saints.
Amen.
Job, we're going to make up the heads in this place. Ain't nobody going to be left out. We're going to make it so that everybody will get to the promised land. God said it. He said we as a people will get to the promised land. Glory to God, we got to get there. How long we got to get there? Woo! We got to get there. God's going to make this happen. Job chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. See, Job talked about something he didn't understand. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Verse 10, after Job repented, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also, the Lord gave the Job how much? Twice as much as he had before. Come on now. It's time for restoration. Everything that the devil has stolen, this is your year of the double. God is going to bring it back double. Hallelujah. This is your year of the double. Look what it said in verse 12. So, the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she asses, and he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the name of the first Jemima, and the second was Kizzy, and the name of the third was Karen. And in all the land where no women found as fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren, and this lived Job 100, come on, and 40 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons even to, come on, 4 generations. So Job died, come on, being old and full of days. Hallelujah. So what did he say? He said this, that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. God is a good God. Yes, he is. Give the Lord a praise, would you? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.